know, but I am so serious. I'm a man that is talk from my heart, and you have to be truthful with yourself, David. It don't make the sense coming with a double standard to down to brass tacks. And you know me personally for a long time coming to this forum. So I won't come here pretending that who I am. I am a realist, and it will be a realist.
Let's be realistic, though. You know full well that with this big victory and stuff, we still have serious economic problems confronting the country.
How do you see yourself
as a citizen trying to make a difference in that regard? There are people who are going to complain and who are going to say, we told you so, that these people make these promises that they can't keep and that sort of thing. That is to be expected. But in all of this, we as Barbadians got to be prepared for whatever sacrifice is required. How are you going to deal with that?
I can tell you the truth, and that's what I want to tell people. You had the last 6 years of turmoil and torture. I have sucked salt. So I am going to say to you, better days are ahead. I come to John Public as me, as Mr. Agriculture, who have full faith in this motley administration.
I didn't ask you about the faith in the administration. I asked you about you and how you would apply.
Now, the train that woman, the train that woman come to this area this week, and you let her talk all over.
Not me, I wasn't here too much. I wasn't
you
here.
Come in, but I admire you for what you do, because the little time you come in, you put them people in the place, and I got to give you 150% for what you have done. So just give me a little time, because I'm not going to come to
the
area.
You remind me of a fast bowler who takes a run-up from the sight screen.
You always have to be facetious, David. You always have to be facetious. You don't know when to make a joke or when to take nothing serious. But I'm going to tell you for myself, the cupboard's in full yet. You can get a little green banana, breadfruit still in here and there. You will get a little something to eat. I'm saying to you, we had so much suffering already, and if we go suffer a little more, tighten your belt a little more, because brighter days are coming.
What are you prepared to give up?
What prepared to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ain't got nothing as a misery to give up. So I just got flow with time.
Somebody here, somebody mentioned it to some term here, but I hear you mention it.
I hope that somebody pass and feed for agriculture and give something to keep struggling through. So I don't pretend, you know, David.
So you have nothing more. You have nothing more to give.
I have nothing. I give. I know bleeding through my ribs. I am bleeding through my ribs, and God got me to judge. But you know what? We have an administration that is going to help. And I know the Prime Minister personally, and I know the people's person that she is. She will not sleep until Barbados is in a place to help poor people. Many have come and talk all over the face, and that they're not fulfilled. But I know the God that I serve will put the energy in this woman to bring Barbados from out of this disgusted place to a place where every single person in Barbados will see prosperity and be able to live and be able to be happy.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
We'll go to another caller. Sanka, it's an interesting aspect of where we are. I mean, if enough people have that sense of optimism, then that should all go well. Mm-hmm. The question is, what would it take to blunt that optimism? What could this current administration do in the coming months that would force people to have a more of a negative perspective? What do you see as that the possibilities there?
This administration needs to continue communicating with the public.
Yeah.
Barbadians have some idea of how bad things are. And I mean, we're seeing statements from the Democratic Labour Party, former candidates, as well as from the party itself, suggesting that the BLP deceived the public. But the reality is that we as Barbadians are now getting to find out the full extent to how bad things are. In fact, one of the things that we were discussing off air is that it seems that all the problems are now coming down on this administration. And that has happened because the can has been kicked down the road. We're talking about, first of all, the IMF is talking about restructuring of the state own enterprises, statutory corporations. Now, this is a discussion that was going on just after 2008. In fact, this is going on before 2008 on the Arthur administration.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember.
We had a report by Kartak.
Kartak, right. Yeah. And nothing was done. I mean,
the closest we went to that was when we dealt with the people at the BIDC, that the matter ended up in court.
Yeah. Because of the way in which it was gone, they went about it. Okay,
that whole process was stymied.
But precisely,
so we still have a lot of work to
do. But if you look at the National Sports Council, for example, you have Comey, Kensington Management Inc., the Wilde Gymnasium, National Sports Council. They've had an interim CEO for how many years, and nothing's done. Those people have been in limbo all this time.
We spend a lot of time looking at the government, but what about the Democratic Labour Party? I think something is amiss here, too. I feel that if former Prime Minister Stewart continues to hold on until August, I don't think that it is going to be in the better interest of the DLP. I think the DLP needs to move very quickly to establish its new leadership. After the mini-budget on Monday, who is going to speak for the Democratic Labour Party in response to that? They don't have to be in Parliament, but they have, as a party that has got the second most votes in this country, they have a place, a well-established political mm-hmm. party. And therefore, there needs to be that clarity of direction as early as possible. I don't think it is in their best interest to continue in this kind of lame duck way. Let me be honest enough to say, look, I've been highly critical of how Mrs. Stewart has run things over the years. People who listen to this program would know that I didn't favor his communication policy and stuff like that. But he is now the former Prime Minister, and I'm not here to put any more blows in him. But only to say that when you look at the reality of what is facing the Democratic Labour Party, it does appear to me as though it needs to move quickly to establish and assert its new direction.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I think that the party has moved on. In fact, the personalities within the party...
But that's not enough.
That is not enough, but... Based on what I'm seeing, especially on social media, they have determined, some of the younger members of the party, that is where they're going to be taking their fight. And they have already begun. They have there's some robust discussion going on in terms of the downgrades, in terms of the direction that the
Motley
government...
That's outside of the party machinery. I think the party machinery is what they need to look at very seriously. Mm-hmm.
They do. You're drawing me out. The point I'm trying to make to you here that I didn't want to say is that I think that some of the younger people in the party considers Mr. Stewart and some people who were part and parcel of the failure as irrelevant. And if they decide that they're not going to go, fine. They are going to buy their time and continue trying to make their mark and wait until.
I anticipate that.
Right? So that is what is happening.
There's an immediacy associated with the image of the Democratic Labour Party, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm speaking to. I recognize, though, that you know there are going to be different factions and mm-hmm. different groups that are going to be spearheading the effort to resuscitate, revive the Democratic Labour Party, and that's to be encouraged. The other point, though, is. I want to see what will happen with this experiment with respect to Joe Atherley. And all I know, so he hasn't named a second opposition senator yet?
Not as yet. But David, I don't want to cut you in your stride, but let's take a commercial break here and so we can deal with that as soon as we come back.
This Friday, Barbadian literary giant George Lamming will be 91 years old. And for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday on this station, we celebrate with him. Hear others talk about Lamming.
How is it that I was able to go through 5 years of secondary school in Barbados and do English from first to fifth form and never once hear George Lamming's name.
But yes, in terms of literature, George is a giant.
And hear Lamming talk about himself.
I'd never read In the Castle of My Skin, really, from end to end, until very recently.
George Lamming at 91, this Thursday, Friday, and Sunday on this station, a special Starcom Network production.
So George Lamming don't sound right.
Welcome back to Brass Stacks. David, we were looking at, before we go back into the area, we were looking at the fact that Bishop Joe Adderley, the leader of the opposition, has not yet named the other senator, which is a little strange. And, you know, one of the things that he could consider if he has not identified a person is actually naming, looking at one, the...
Somebody from one of the interest groups.
One of the interest groups, you know, like Economic Society or something like that, you know.
What is it called? Be glad or one of them.
David is obviously going to hold it. He's obviously being naughty. But one thing I would say about the person who he has named, Senator Caswell Franklin, he has already indicated that he wants what he wants to do. And
he would be most independent of the senators they say there, I believe.
I suspect that. But knowing Caswell as I do, and anybody who knows his history in terms of how he is a fighter and he believes in certain principles, they would know that Caswell is going to go and try to do the job he thinks needs to be done. But anyhow, we go back to our phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hello, morning.
I want to speak. I want to say, make it clear again that I'm not BD or whatever, but I listen to this program and I really enjoy it. And I'm really amazed at the D supporters. You know, Bob Marley said, your best friend could be your worst enemy. And I think that the D supporters, you know what they remind me of? An abusive partner. Right? They keep hoping that things will come better and they stay into that relationship despite what, until the end when the abuser, you know, the person that they stay with finally take their lives, and then they realize a little before that, you know what, I should have moved away. But I say that to say they keep telling y'all that y'all don't treat them good and whatever. But when I listen, when they were on CBC, Maureen, I can say, she do not listen like y'all. Y'all is allow people to speak. And how they want to speak to y'all, they don't want y'all to answer or retaliate, or not retaliate, but say what you have to say. They say y'all are abusing them and thing. And Maureen, and they laugh when Maureen do the same thing to callers when they want to put their point of view. And Maureen cut them off, they laugh. And I heard it for myself. One time when a caller was trying to explain himself and he got cut off, and the next caller was the Trinidadian lady, and she did not correct Maureen. She just laughed and continued her discussion.
Don't worry, we don't really spend a lot of time here talking about our competitors in that way. It is what it is, and what we seek to do is to establish a standard here that, I mean, I was telling Dennis just a few days ago, yesterday or so, so the beauty about Brass Stacks is that the day after the elections, we could come here and sit down.
True.
With pride in what we have done. You know, we didn't have to go and look and hide nowhere. and bury our heads. We felt confident, all of us, that we had done a proper job for Barbados and Barbadians. Yeah, so I mean, that's where we have to keep it. And you know, in an environment where we complain so much about falling standards here, there, and everywhere, we have a special responsibility to live up to certain professional standards in this
and
program.
The next thing that my dad always say, right? My dad always tell us when we were growing up. He give us a scenario that this guy, he was at the gallows, and the judge asked him if he wants anything to say, if he have anything to say. And he said, yes, I would like to speak to my mother. And when his mother come, he bit off her ears. And he said, Mom, if when I was growing up and I was doing wrong thing, if you told me the things that I was doing was wrong, I would not have been here.
No, but you have to ask the question, what is it that happens to an individual if you have been in a particularly strong position for 10 years? And we've seen this happen with leaders here and elsewhere. After you've been in a dominant position for a long time, it is sometimes very, very difficult to come back down to earth. And I have felt, you know, that in some instances, it should be compulsory that people have therapy after they have held certain positions. Because if that does not happen, I see one scenario here in the country where it seems as though, you know, a person who has held a prominent position for many years has had real difficulty adjusting to the new reality. And you go across the Caribbean, you've seen other situations mm-hmm. like that. And do not believe for one minute that it can only impact on a person who has been a leader, a prime minister, or somebody like that. You can find that people at different levels in the government structure could go through that. The Democratic Labour Party people right now, what strikes me most of all is that, and I listen to it even here on Brass Stats, it's lashing out. It is trying to find a scapegoat. Somebody else is responsible, not me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it couldn't be me. You guys are the ones who caused us to lose. Not because they didn't treat with us, you know, interact mm-hmm. with us and that sort of thing, and kind of ostracize you and stuff like that. But the people who will, there's one person that in the Democratic Labour Party that I know pretty well. And I tell you that because of the position that he took over the years, you know, he's able to walk about, notwithstanding the defeat, and interact with people and do pretty well. He ain't hiding under no rock or anything like that, because he had asserted his position in such a way. And I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but from what I see here, the first order of business has got to be to accept what went wrong. Mm-hmm. If you accept what went wrong, then you can then try to deal with it and come to terms with, you know, how you're going to move forward. But too many people are still spending time cussing everybody else rather than coming to terms with the fact that, look, you just mm-hmm. fouled up.
That is very true. You're hearing, you're seeing those conversations, some really nasty conversations on social media.
Anyhow, I want to say goodbye when I go off and leave, because, you know, sometimes when you're doing Brass Stacks and you disappear, the people won't know where you are, then they can start spreading rumors that I get fired and all sorts of things. So,
ambassadorial appointment.
Don't forget that.
This ambassadorial appointment that they're telling me about. You know? You heard about that too, then. I went into a gallery the other day and a man said to me, "Good morning, Your Excellency." I said, "What are you talking about?" Boy, anyhow, I just going on leave.
So you are you're stating categorically that you have not been appointed as an ambassador.
I'm stating categorically that I haven't even been approached.
All right, David, have a great holiday. We take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Good morning. Good morning, sir or madam.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Yes, good morning. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a suggestion to make, and I wonder what you think about it. To offset some of the expenses of the transport board and to help fix the roads, if we could look at having a toll on the entry to the seaport and the airport.
A toll?
Yeah, a toll.
The entry to the seaport and airport?
Yeah, that's right.
How would that work? I mean,
well, how do toll booths work in the States?
So you mean that the person who is leaving and coming, or from the airport, or just going to the airport?
Going in. Anytime you're going into the airport, you pay a toll, or into the seaport, you pay a toll.
Well, so you already pay taxes to leave the airport, you know. You pay, really? If it's about $75. It's not before it used to be collected separately, but now it's part of the whole ticket cost. So you're already paying, quote unquote, a toll at the airport and at the seaport. Tourists, cruise liners.
I'm not talking about individuals, and I'm talking about pieces of transport. I'm talking about a car or a van or a truck, whatever.
But to park at the airport, you have to pay in the car park. I think $150 an hour. Unless you increase that. But
that's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not knocking it. All I'm saying is
whatever you say about it, if you think in terms of the USA, you pay to park, you pay to do other things.
Well, you pay to do everything in the United States, man.
Exactly, but you still have tolls on the roads. Roads, the way we are. The all roads are constructed, etc. You can't think about putting tolls because people will always find a way around.
To circumvent it,
you can't find a way other than to enter the airport but one way and the seaport one way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you can collect tolls there.
Yeah,
but if you put a toll on the highway, I'll go somewhere else and still get where you're going.
Yeah, I understand the idea that you're pushing, but I think that would cause more confusion than it and frustration than it would be, then you would earn money. In terms of taxation, you always want to be able to apply a tax where it can have its maximum effect. In fact, that's why the NSRL, the Social Responsibility Levy, was so effective and also so destructive. So you really need to be able to apply a tax that can be as pervasive as that. And at this stage, we've had so much taxation, you have to ask yourself, if you're going to apply a new tax, how is the best way to put that tax in place without frustrating the public? And that is going to be the key issue. And I think that is why one of the ideas would be, you know, the whole idea of the road tax, removing the road tax, which means that nobody has to look for $400 up to $1,600 for the luxury vehicles out of their pockets instantly. They would be able to pay a few cents towards the road tax every time they fill up their vehicles. You know, those are the types of ways I think you now have to apply. You have to get to earn your revenue. Because people are weary of taxation. We're tired of it, quite frankly. We're tired of it. Anyhow, sir, thank you very much for your suggestion. We take another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You are on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to jump in here a minute. Sanka?
Yes, sir.
Right. How are you doing?
I'm well, man. How are you doing?
Well, fair to find.
Good.
You know, I want to, let's say David asked a question earlier this morning of the agricultural man about how, you know, he would live and what he would like to see happen in this country to see if we could help push this country forward, right?
Yeah.
But I must say this before, I think, a gentleman called you this morning and he tried to, typical terms, land-based, you and the studio, and all sorts of things. But this is the same guy who had about he had about five different parties. Yeah. The same fella.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like God.
But I ceded to David. David dealt with him in a very polite, professional
very
manner.
Because
I really was rolling up my sleeves. Because
there's
people like him I really like to take on. But
that is what Brass Tacks is all about. Because he's the same fella that he and his son was doing these surveys to criticize everything that, analyst that we got there at VOB, Peter Wickham.
Yeah.
To criticize everything he said. And to name a number of places where that the Democratic Party will want to see. And the fact is that they lost all 30 and only gained two boxes. And I mean, these fellas should look in the mirror, see where they went wrong, and try to help the party rather than criticizing people. Listen, it is 30 constituencies and everybody rejected the Democratic Labour Party. My man, you have been punished for your inefficiencies. Take that and try to bring yourself back together so that at least you have a chance to contribute to the welfare of Barbados as a country and as a state. Not so much for that, Kip Sanker. Yeah, we was talking about how we could help try to push this country forward, right? I believe that we got to look carefully and see what we have to export that could bring in foreign exchange. I feel we need to look seriously at what we can produce on the markets, especially England, United States, and Canada, right?
Yeah.
I also believe that we should try as best as we can to cut down this food import bill. I think that's one of the major concerns. I think we should look at it very seriously, right? When it comes to the export market, we have to look at things which is really indigenous to certain countries. I have been proposing for a while that we should get these youngsters. Remember, this government has been talking about these soft loans.
Yeah, trust loans.
I believe that the young people who really would be benefiting from these soft loans should not only say, let me take $5,000. If it's for them, they get $20,000. They'll form corporations, and they could start off from there. Which means that four fellas might got expertise in four different areas, if you want to say what I mean. But they come together, they pool the resources together, and try to move forward. Now, the other thing is, I believe that, like, pomegranates, we should plant them in abundance. Coconuts, we should plant in abundance. Soursop is in great demand in the United States, England, and Canada. And we got to look and think in terms of how we could make the pomegranates and these type of things into either juices or tea bags for export. I think that's one of the ways we should go. Now, we got a monkey problem now in Barbados, which is destroying our food crops, right? I think we should think very seriously about raising the bounty on the monkey, and try and see which countries are willing to take these monkeys off our hands. I think that's another way that we could, you would call that agriculture too?
I don't know. Some people call it cruelty.
It can't be cruelty when you're catching them, you aren't killing them. You are catching them, are exporting them. It was something that was done in Barbados before.
Yeah, but
the problem is that
if you're catching them and you're exporting them and they're going to be experimented on, some people would term that as cruelty.
No. What I'm saying to you, you catching these and you exporting them to bring in foreign exchange. I believe that certain countries want them and not to experiment on them. I believe a lot of countries want them because they want to put them in zoos and certain places of interest and whatever and thing. And we have, as I was told, that we have a unique brand, a green monkey. And these is avenues where I see that we should really try to get
I take your views and I've listened. My two cents worth is that a lot of what you're saying is possible, but the problem, the real challenge for Barbados is the immediacy of our situation. We are spending too much money. We, being the government, is spending too much money. And we need to make cuts where there's a level where there are duplication.
Sasha, and, I agree with what you're saying.
And well, whether you agree or not, or whether anybody agrees or not, that is the reality. That what I'm saying is has been known for the last 20, 25 years. It's nothing new. In fact, a lot of what is said by the IMF in their Article 4 report it's been said repeatedly. What we have here now is that all these situations have come to the point where they have to be dealt with right now. And there's no getting away from it. The caller, the person who called and who you said lambasted myself and David, one of the things that I was going to ask him is what does he think the Democratic Labour Party was going to do if they had come back to office? Because they would have been faced with paying the $120 million for the Credit Suisse loan, and they would still have the same $440 million available to them. What would they have done? You know, it is easy to sit down and criticize. But the reality is, and here let me deal with the governor, the former governor, Dr. Delaware, who says it was bad advice, you should never have defaulted. And I've also seen that said of other people. And they may be correct. But the reality is that if you don't make your position known, you can be held over a barrel by some of your creditors. And if you make your position known without telling your creditors, they can also hold you over a barrel. So you either way, you can get cut up. So you've got to make a decision. But the point is, you have to make a decision. And what we're seeing now in Barbados are that decisions are being taken. And there will be mistakes will be made. But you have to make a decision about what is happening.
And yes, Sanka.
And this is what I'm seeing. Decisions are being taken.
Sanka, just the final word. I agree with whatever you're saying and thing. I know that we have to act immediately to try to pull back some of these problems. But I'm saying to you, in the meantime, both of these, what you spoke about and what I spoke about, need to be started together, because we must still, at the end of the day, we must still be able to feed ourselves. We
yes,
still
sir.
Must be able to sustain our development. So 3 years down the road, if we implement certain things, we will see the benefits 5-6 years down the road, which could carry us further, right?
Very true.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. We have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Month in Review. May 2018, Extended Special Edition. History is Made, a 30-minute special capturing all the news highlights of May.
I therefore proclaim Harry and Meghan are husband and wife.
But especially the historic election.
We have left deadlines behind too long. I say no.
The UPP, we've had good response.
I not to hear what want to declare my upset.
She had to be the focus of last night's meeting.
I shall not be distracted by those who want to have other campaign tactics substitute for an election platform.
Yes, I already done cast my head.
Hey, boy, that vote.
This victory is the people of Barbados' victory.
Let me accept full responsibility for the defeat of the Democratic Labour Party in this election.
I, Mayor Amor Motley, being appointed Prime Minister.
Sunday, June 10th at 1:15 p.m. with a repeat 8:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 12th. Month in Review. May 2018 Special Edition. History is Made.